In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, tomorrow I've arranged for what I call a vocations day for high school boys. And we've invited some high school boys outside of our school to come over tomorrow. At 8:30 in the morning, we'll be having a Mass here. Father Joseph Selway, who is one of the younger priests who works with us, will be up from Florida, and he'll be offering the morning Mass and speaking to the boys about the future and about vocations, a little bit about the seminary, and how even at that age in high school, you should think about your future and where you're going with your life. In addition to that, we'll have a number of recreational activities. The young men will be taken over to the fencing center for a demonstration of fencing. I don't know if you're aware of that, but the boys, high school boys in our school, do fencing. It's a very, very interesting sport to watch. You might be interested in seeing that, where you're actually encouraged to chase after someone with a sword. I know that would have excited me very much. In fact, sometimes it still does. I always try to make a point of, at a certain age, of asking boys if they've ever thought of the priesthood, the priestly vocation of serving Almighty God as a priest. And this Vocations Day, which will run from about 8:30 in the morning to about 3:30, will be an opportunity for young men to find out a little bit about the priesthood, a little bit about seminary life, and hear from someone a little bit different, younger priest, about this issue. When I ask young men about this, I frequently get a surprise reaction. The reaction is me, a priest, going to the seminary. Now, you know, that is, I suppose, an understandable reaction. I know that when I first thought about going to the seminary myself, and we were asked about that, one was always sort of surprised about that. When you look at the Gospels, however, you see that God uses weak instruments and to spread his word and through his grace really builds them up into very, very effective instruments of the Holy Gospel. One of my favorite representations, pieces of art, is the Call of Saint Matthew by Caravaggio, a very famous painting. And it takes place in the toll booth. Now, I don't know if you remember the story of St. Matthew. He wasn't exactly a likely candidate to be an apostle, I suppose, of our blessed Lord. He was a tax collector. And you couldn't get any lower in society at that time than a tax collector. In any event, there's this darkened room where the men are counting out the taxes taken over the table. And all you see is of our Lord is his hand extending a little bit of the shadow of his face and the light shining on St. Matthew. And there's the look on the face of St. Matthew. Who? Me? So it is when we look at all the apostles. We can learn lessons not only for the question of priestly vocations, but also for generally living out the Christian life. Consider the defects of the apostles. They were really a pretty sorry lot at the beginning. Even throughout most of their life with our blessed Lord, they're very inconstant and indiscreet. They had an ability sometimes, an astounding ability to misunderstand what our blessed Lord was saying. They're weak in the faith. They could not even overcome the temptation they had to sleep, even when important events were going on. Our Lord on Mount Tabor, the Transfiguration, and they're sleeping. Or in the garden during our Lord's agony, they're sleeping. Or their pride, Think of the pride of St. Peter at the Last Supper, the stubbornness, the hardness of heart. St. Thomas, refusing to believe unless he saw proof. Or ambition, angling for first places in the kingdom of heaven. Cowardice that they had. They flee from the garden, they leave Christ alone. Peter then denies him. But our blessed Lord, throughout all this, has showed a patience and long-suffering toward them, even toward Judas, whom he knew was going to betray him. Christ gives a great example of patience there. He knows every move that Judas is going to make, but he puts up with it. He puts up with it. He washes his feet. He gives him a special mark of respect at the table at the Last Supper. And he makes his last appeal to him as he receives the traitor's kiss from him in the garden. In this, with our blessed Lord, we can first of all draw this general lesson for ourselves. Our Lord's magnanimity, that he was always prepared to forgive when there was a sincere repentance. How Christ pardoned Peter with a look, the praetorium or the courtyard of the high priest, and this look brought tears to the eyes of St. Peter, brought sorrow to his heart. Or our Lord's magnanimity when it came to satisfying the demands of Thomas. And these were excessive demands. You would think that Thomas would have learned by this time, but our Lord nevertheless accommodates him. This tenderness for these men who seemed so rough and who had all of these bad qualities. Our Lord's tender goodbye to them at the Last Supper. There's a huge section toward the end of the Gospel of St. John. Our Lord's prayer for his disciples and his goodbye to them. It's full of tenderness and love, despite their faults. And even after the resurrection, our Lord prepares a meal for them on the shore. I don't know if you remember that in the Easter Gospels. So there's this tenderness and this magnanimity that he has toward people with faults. Towards people with faults. And that's a lesson, certainly, that we all can learn. Secondly, as far as vocations toward the priesthood and encouraging them, remember this, that the power of Christ transforms. It transforms absolutely. We see that in the case of the apostles. That some very unlikely candidates with a lot of faults, because of the call of our blessed Lord and because of their accepting the grace that he offered to them, allowed them to go on and to spread the great message of our blessed Lord through the whole world. I pray for two things today. Pray for this, in general, for magnanimity and tenderness toward people who are far less than perfect. And in so doing, you will imitate our blessed Lord. And secondly, remember to pray for and encourage vocations, especially in your own family. If you're a young man, it's never too early to think about the possibility that our blessed Lord might be calling you. You may think that you're extremely unlikely material. But people who started out as unlikely material, like the apostles, went on to spread the faith to the whole world. Pray for the grace of magnanimity. Pray for vocations to the holy priesthood. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.